First of all, today I'm going to talk about playing games with God. I think that's a helpful way to get into this idea. The Pharisees were playing a game with Jesus. Let's listen to that text again. Then the Pharisees went away and planned to trap Jesus into saying the wrong things. They sent their disciples to him along with Herod's followers. They said to him, "Teacher, we know that you tell the truth, that you teach the truth about the way of God. You don't favor individuals because of who they are. So tell us what you think. Is it right to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" Jesus recognized their evil plan, so he asked, "Why do you test me, you hypocrites? Show me a coin used to pay taxes." So he brought them a coin. So they brought him a coin. He said to them, "Whose face and name is this?" That's on the coin. They replied, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Very well, give to the emperor what belongs to the emperor, and give to God what belongs to God." They were surprised to hear this. Then they left him alone and went away. They were playing a game. They thought they had a nice trap for Jesus. He was going to step right into it because they asked him a question. If he answered yes, then the common people would be upset with him because the Romans were invaders. They had invaded the country and taken over. And there was a lot of things that the Roman government did that the people didn't like. But if he said, "No, don't pay taxes," then they could turn him over to, well, they were with Herod's followers. They could turn him over to the government and he would be in trouble there. They were playing a game. Maybe I ought to establish my credibility to talk about games and game strategy. In high school, I earned a varsity letter 3 years in football, 3 years in baseball, and 2 in basketball. In fact, in my senior year, we had a new coach. And this new coach, he was the head coach, and he said, "Everybody who goes out for football has to go out for track." But I already had 2 varsity letters in baseball, and I wanted to work on a third. So they creatively maneuvered. So in practice, I would go with the track team for 10 to 15 minutes, and I would throw the shot. And then I would join the baseball team. And whenever it didn't conflict with a baseball game, I would go to the track meet. In fact, one day, they took me to a track meet away from, it was an away track meet. They took me to that town. I threw the shot, competed in the shot, finished that, changed into my baseball uniform, and joined the baseball team in the 4th inning in another town. I went to college on a football scholarship, but my problem was that I was only 175 pounds and they played me in the middle of the line. So after 2 years of injuries, I transferred and played baseball my last 2 years. And I've kept up with baseball teams and basketball teams and football teams since that time. In fact, for the 19 years before I came here, I actually belonged to the NBA, the Noon Basketball Association. At Concordia, Texas, we had professors, a few professors and students would get together for a noon basket pickup basketball game on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. And I played until I retired a couple of years ago when I was 71. I even learned a little bit about soccer, playing soccer with the students that I taught at a seminary in Papua New Guinea. So I think I know a little bit about games and strategies. If we're going to play a game, it's a good thing to have the right people on our team, to be on the right team, and it's a good thing to know the strategy of the enemy. So I'd like to look into some games that we as Americans play, try to play with God, and then we'll talk about giving to the government what belongs to the government and giving to God what belongs to God. A horrible game that a lot of Americans play kills unborn babies. And we try to justify that kind of thing by saying, well, you know, if I have this child, it'll just live in poverty, or it's not the right time to have a child, or it'll interrupt my career. You know, it's the loving thing to do. Or there's an argument, too, that this is my body, I can do whatever I want with my body, as though God didn't create that life. Israel had child sacrifice too. They burned small children on altars as a sacrifice to idols. And listen to God's response. Ezekiel writes God's response. This is what the Almighty Lord says. Bring together a mob against the people of Samaria and Jerusalem. Hand them over to terror and looting. Then the mob will stone them and kill them with swords. The mob will kill their sons and daughters and burn their homes. So I will put a stop to the sinning in the land, and all the people will be warned not to sin as they do. They will be punished for their sins, and they will pay for their sin of idolatry. Then they will know I am the Almighty Lord. Mobs that riot, loot, and burn? That sound familiar? Have we heard of anything like that? Another game that is often played is the game that somehow, if you have sex, you're showing love. Of course, that's possible, and it should be done in marriage, but so many think that sex anytime is showing love. I can have sex with whoever I want, whoever I love, whether I'm married or not. I think it would be helpful for us to have the kind of different words that the Greek has. The Greek has four different words for what we call love. There's a word agape, which means self-giving, really true kind of giving love. Then there's a word for brotherly and sisterly love, that kind of affection. And the word for sexual attraction is eros. Our word erotic comes from that. I think it might be helpful to us to stop that kind of game. Another game that Americans play is that I can choose my own gender. It's not what God gave me, it's I can choose my own. I can be what I want to be, or I can change from one to the other. I think what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah should be an answer from God. Another game that might hit closer to home is I've got to spend time developing my career. I've got to forward my career. Or we need a bigger house, we need a better house, we need this, we need a fancier car. You know, we don't have the latest this, we don't have the latest that. So we hire other people to raise our children. They go to daycare and then they go to preschool and preschool and all of these other kinds of things because we want to be fashionable, we want to be wealthy. Well, Jesus' response to that is, you can't serve two masters. You can't serve wealth and God. You can only serve one. Sometimes we also play the game, we don't have time for family devotions. You know, I have work that I brought home, and the children have homework, and well, there's a really nice program on TV tonight, and we don't have time for family devotions and Bible reading and all that kind of stuff. You know, we go to church, but how are we going to grow if we don't spend time with God? Even in our church, sometimes we play games with God. We very often claim, this is my church. This is the way I like to do things. You know, if those people who might be coming in need something different, well, that's their problem. We're going to do it the way I like to do it. Jesus' response to the Jewish leaders was, you abandon the commandments of God to follow the traditions of men. And of course, the commandment Jesus gave to us is, make disciples. Sometimes we even think that God is playing games with us. You know, why do I have this ailment? Why do I have this pain? Why did that happen to my family? Why doesn't God take this sickness away? Why doesn't God answer my prayers? I think we can look at the Apostle Paul's example. He talked about, we often call it a thorn in the flesh. He wrote, to keep me from becoming conceited, I am forced to deal with a recurring problem. That problem, Satan's messenger, torments me to keep me from being conceited. I begged the Lord 3 times to take it away from me, but he told me, my kindness is all you need. My power is strongest when you are weak. And then Paul says, so I will brag even more about my weakness, in order that Christ's power will live in me. Quite a good response. Paul knew what team he was on. He knew God's strategy. He wanted to be a winner with God. Okay, what belongs to God, what belongs to the emperor? Let's talk about what belongs to the emperor, first of all. Yes, we do owe something to the government. God puts governments in place to accomplish his will. Remember the Old Testament reading for today? You know, it began, this is what the Lord says about Cyrus, his anointed one. But did you catch in there that twice? Twice he said, Cyrus doesn't even know me. God said that. Cyrus doesn't know me. But God was doing these things through Cyrus. And that section has very interesting finishing. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I make blessings and create disasters. I, the Lord, do all these things. I make blessings, and we certainly have many of those, and create disasters. Could that be hurricanes, tornadoes, fires, riots, looting, burning, epidemics? God trying to teach us something? We can also listen to what Paul says about governments. He says, every person should obey the government in power. No government would exist if it hadn't been established by God. The governments which exist have been put in place by God. Therefore, whoever resists the government opposes what God has established. Those who resist will bring punishment on themselves. People who do what is right don't have to be afraid of the government, but people who do what is wrong should be afraid of it. Would you like to live without being afraid of the government? Do what is right, and it will praise you. The government is God's servant working for your good. But if you do wrong, you should be afraid. The government has the right to carry out the death sentence. It is God's servant, an avenger, to execute God's anger on anyone who does what is wrong. Therefore, it is necessary for you to obey, not only because you're afraid of God's anger, but because of your own conscience. This is also why you pay taxes. People in government are God's servants while they do the work he has given them. Pay everyone whatever you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay them. If you owe tolls, pay them. If you owe someone respect, respect that person. If you owe someone honor, honor that person. So give to the government what belongs to the government. But also give to God what belongs to God. Paul was speaking to an audience in the Areopagus in Athens, and he gives a good description of what God has given to us and who God is. Paul says, "The God who made the universe and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth. He doesn't live in shrines made by humans, and he isn't served by humans as if he needed anything. He gives everyone life, breath, and everything they have. From one man, he has made every nation of humanity to live all over the earth. He has given them the seasons of the year and the boundaries within which to live. He has done this so that they would look for God, somehow reach him, and find him. In fact, he is never far from any one of us. Certainly, we live, move, and exist because of him." And Jesus gives us good advice, too, about giving. Jesus says, "Stop storing up treasures for yourself on earth where moths and rust destroy and thieves break in and steal. Instead, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and rust don't destroy and thieves don't break in and steal. Your heart will be where your treasure is. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is unclouded, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is evil, your whole body will be full of darkness. If the light in you is darkness, how dark it will be. So I tell you, stop worrying about what you will eat, drink, or wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds. They don't plant, harvest, or gather the harvest into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? Can any of you add a single hour to your life by worrying? And why worry about clothes? Notice how the flowers grow in the field. They never work or spin yarn for clothes. But I say that not even Solomon in all his majesty was dressed like one of these flowers. That's the way God clothes the grass in the field. Today it's alive, and tomorrow it's thrown into an incinerator. So how much more will he clothe you, people, who have so little faith? Don't ever worry and say, what are we going to eat? Or what are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? Everyone is concerned about these things, and your heavenly Father certainly knows you need all of them. But first be concerned about his kingdom and what has his approval. Then all these things will be provided for you. Give to God what belongs to God. When we think about giving to God, one of the things we ought to include and think about is obedience. Our thinking about the commandments is often messed up. We think the commandments are somehow a barrier for us or some way to trap us and punish us. But the commandments are actually God showing his love to us. Just like when I was young and we had a wood stove in our house, Mom said, "Don't touch the stove." That was a loving thing. That wasn't a barrier. Well, it was supposed to be a barrier. It was the way of showing love. It was a way of telling me, if you do that, you're going to get hurt. The commandments are provided for us so that we don't hurt ourselves and we don't hurt others. We should fear and love God so that. And fear in this context means a trusting obedience. We should trust God so that we obey. There's also joy in giving time to God. What a joy it is to grow in confidence that God loves us, that God cares for us, that God wants to show us how to live and what he wants us to do. So, time for Bible study, time for devotions, time to get together as the people of God, what a blessing. And our talents, they were given to us by God so that we can serve God, we can do things for God. And we might say, well, technology, there wasn't this kind of technology in the Bible. How can I use that for God? Well, I'd like for someone who is able to trace the people watching this service so that we could make contact with them and continue that contact and make contact in person so that we can show them even more of God's grace and God's love and God's concern for them through us. Or what about somebody who does a good job of crossing to another culture? I'm told that there are about 36,000 people here in the Knoxville area, in the greater Knoxville area, that come from other cultures, that are just beginning to learn English, that need to understand how, you know, the strange customs that we have here in America. If you are interested in that, if you have a gift, a talent for that, let me know. I can put you in touch with ways to do that. Treasures. God has given us lots of treasures, lots of things that we can use to serve God. That beautiful house that you keep nice and clean. What about being a place of hospitality, where you bring people to share with them who you are, why Jesus is important to you, where you try to make disciples? We have many other treasures that can be used for God's kingdom. Decision making. What if all of our decision making, whether it's for personal things, whether it's for business, whether it's for pleasure, what if all of those decisions were prayerfully made? What a joy we would have in following the guidance that God gives to us. And of course, sometimes it would even be forgiveness that we would need. But what a joy if that's the way we give back to God, by always asking for his guidance. What about the relationships we have? How about meeting people for the purpose of making disciples, of sharing with them? I think our church talks about that in terms of connecting, connecting. And of course, that growth as we spend time with God, that growth in faith and love, that's going to overflow, that's going to spill out to other people. And serve God by serving others. Another opportunity to touch the lives of people and bring them into that fellowship with Christ, that great joy that we have in serving God. By the way, does that sound familiar? Connect, grow, serve? Yes, yes. Well, I'd like to finish by having us stand and recite together and joyfully say together Psalm 96. It was the psalm assigned as a reading for today, and I think it does a great job of telling us about the things to give to God. It will be up on the screen. Let us say this together. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name. Day after day, announce that the Lord saves his people. Tell about his glory. Tell all the nations about his miracles. The Lord is great. He should be highly praised. He should be feared more than all that made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are in his presence. Strength and beauty are in his holy place. Give to the Lord, you families of the nations. Give to the Lord glory and power. Give to the Lord the glory he deserves. Bring an offering and come into his courtyards. Worship the Lord in his holy splendor. Tremble in his presence, all the earth. Say to the nations, the Lord rules as king. The earth stands firm, it cannot be moved. He will judge the people fairly. Let the heavens rejoice and the earth be glad. Let the sea and everything in it roar like thunder. Let the fields and everything in them rejoice. Then all the trees in the forest will sing joyfully in the Lord's presence because he is coming. He is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and its people with truth.